Are you guys ready for the Word of God? Yes. Awesome. We're in a series, Joseph, the Good Life. Half of Joseph's life, or first 13 years of Joseph's story, is him in being a slave and being in prison. And the next part of his life is where he is living the good life. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Do you know how to be successful? See, in churches, in our church, we talk a lot about struggling. We talk a lot about problems. And we love praying for people who are going through tough time. We sympathize with people. We ask God to bless them. However, when God blesses somebody, I can't help to think that we get a little intimidated and maybe a little bit jealous. And we don't celebrate people who are being blessed as much as those who are suffering. But if you're a Christian, I just want to tell you that God will give you both. Christian life is not just constant suffering, grinding, survival. We're going to make it, you know. Sometimes God will test you with prosperity and blessing and with a lot of money. Will you know how to live a successful life? And that's what we're looking at today. We're looking at the life of Joseph when he became successful so we can be like him. Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4 verse 12 says this: I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret, say the secret, of living in every situation. Many people know how to live in poverty. They get closer to God. We pray more. I remember when I was starting my business, oh, I was praying every day, God bless my business. But then when God blessed my business, well, guess what? The temptation is to forget God. When your marriage was suffering, oh, how much you prayed for your spouse, for your husband, for your wife. But then when God blessed you, suddenly you stopped praying for them. When your children were going nuts and crazy, you knew how and you prayed and you were close to Jesus. But when everything became good, suddenly something shifts in our life. We don't know how to live in prosperity. And if Jesus' words are true, that he has come to give us life to the fullest, then we're going to have to learn to live with this life to the fullest. I have many friends who are in business. And as a young man, I've always been observant of people. And I watched how when their business was small, how they were in church in the front rows, raising their hands, worshiping Jesus. How they were just always being faithful to God. And then when their business got big, they started going out a lot on weekends. They had too much money. And I watched how that success destroyed some of them to the point where some of them are dead today who were super successful before. How do you make sure that what you're praying for doesn't destroy you? How do you make sure that success, the blessing that you're saying, God bless my family, bless my life, bless my marriage, bless my children, doesn't turn around and bite you in the apple? Paul says, I know the secret. And so today we're going to talk about the secret of success. Today we're looking at the life of a man whose life changed in 1 hour. He went from prison, from being a slave, to the second in command in Egypt, became the prince of Egypt, the guy who became the vice president of the most powerful nation in the world. He went through his share of things. And some of you are like, Pastor, why are we studying about Joseph so much? Because Joseph's life will be like your life. Joseph's story will be your story. Joseph's journey will be your journey. What Joseph went through, you will go through in your life at one point or another. What did Joseph go through? He went through a season of dreams. He didn't ask for them. God gave him those dreams. Have you noticed it was a season of dreams?
He went through the season of being hated by his brothers for those dreams and being envied. He went through the season of being betrayed by the people closest to him. You will go through the season of being betrayed. You want to be in ministry? Well, get ready. You will be betrayed. You will go through a season of being misunderstood. I didn't say that. Yes, you did. You will go through a season of some sort of slavery where you feel like, God, I feel like a slave. Sometimes leadership feels like a slavery because there are certain things you cannot do. I think John Maxwell said this, the more responsibility you have, the less freedom you have. You will go through the season of false accusation. Joseph was falsely accused. You will go through the season of being forgotten by the people you helped. Remember two, Baker and Butler in prison, they forgot about him for 2 years. You will also go through a season of sudden miracles and God taking you from the pit and putting you in the palace. You will go, and then you will go through the season of living a successful life. All right? And so today I want you to pay attention, because somewhere there you will find yourself in this Joseph story. Now, right now Joseph is in the palace. How many of you would want the position that Joseph had? Raise your hand, okay? I'm not talking about prison. I'm talking about the palace, second in command. How many of you would want that? Thank you for your honesty. I might convince you otherwise by the end of the message. People often think that when they achieve success, all of their problems will go away. However, success sometimes creates just as many problems as failure. Of course, there are different problems. Listen, problems are here to stay. As long as you live in this world, there is no such a thing as an easy life. Problems are here to stay. Whether you're successful or failing, you will always have problems. Success, listen, is not easy. It was never meant to be easy. And we'll see it from Joseph right now. Let's read. Let's go to the Bible. Genesis 41 verse, what verse do we got there? 45. Then Pharaoh gave Joseph a new Egyptian name. And I always love pronouncing this one. Just do it quickly. Zaphnath-Paneah. He also gave him a wife. Wow, you get a wife too. Whose name was Asenath. She was the daughter of Potiphar, the priest of On. So Joseph took charge of entire land of Egypt. Keep going. He was 30 years old when he began, say, serving. Remember that word. That's why it's in yellow and underlined. He began serving in the court of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And when Joseph left Pharaoh's presence, watch this. He inspected the entire land of Egypt. As predicted, for 7 years, the land produced prosperity, bumper crop. During those years, Joseph gathered all the crops grown in Egypt and stored the grain from the surrounding fields into the cities. He piled up a huge amount of grain like sand on the seashore. Finally, he stopped keeping records because there was too much to measure. During this time, before the first of the famine years, two sons were born to Joseph and his wife, Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, the priest of On. Joseph named his oldest Manasseh, for he said, God has made me forget all my troubles and everyone in my father's family. Joseph named his second son Ephraim, and he said, God has made me fruitful in this land of my grief. Up to this point. After 13 years of prison and slavery, you would think that being promoted, Joseph would go on a little vacation. Plus, he got a wife, right? But verse 46 says that Joseph began to serve in a Pharaoh's palace. You would think that Joseph would go on a cruise on the Nile River. Remember, now he's rich. He is powerful. He's second in command. He's got servants and slaves, men and women, who are ready to do whatever he says. What would you do if you won $10 million? Would we see you here for the next year? Be honest. If you won a lottery, would you be here? Yes, okay, thank you. God is hearing you, sister. You would think that he would just be drinking and partying and just being gluttonous. And that's what a lot of people do. When they become successful, and if you've ever studied or read about people who win $1 million, in about 3 years, they lose everything. They go usually through a divorce. They don't speak to any family or friends. And they're broke by about 3 years, the end of 3 years. Because they did not realize that you have to know the secret to live a successful life. Joseph, on the other hand, does not do that. What surprises me, let's put verse 30, well, yeah, this one. Perfect. He was 30 years old when he began serving in the court of Pharaoh. He began serving. Did you know that you were created to serve? And serving doesn't stop even when you get to heaven. In the book of Revelation, John the Revelator wants to fall at the angel's feet and worship him. And the angel says something that gives me a clue to what heaven is like. He says, "Don't bow down to me. We're all servants here." Heaven is about serving. You were created to serve. And so it doesn't matter if you're successful or not successful, God wants you to serve. I remember in my business in the beginning years, it was all about money. And money is a bad thing to chase. Because when you chase it, it runs fast. Money runs fast from you. And then I remember one day I re-examined my life, and here's why. I started seeing people around me chase money and I didn't like it. So I looked at them and I said, "That's me. I'm chasing money and I don't want to do that," because you lose your family, you lose your friends, you lose your relationship with God because you're chasing money. And I said, "I want to serve the people I work for. And the money that they give me is the bonus. I want to serve the little old lady who cannot sleep at night because there is a big limb hanging over her house, right? And she's afraid, or it's rubbing on her gutters and her roof and she thinks somebody's crawling into her house. And the money that she pays me for removing that limb over her house was a bonus." And I remember how my life changed. Do you remember that? How our vision changed, our life changed. Because it wasn't about money anymore. It was about helping people. You were created to serve. You were created to serve. Jesus said, it's a privilege to serve. You want to be great, become a servant. Here's what I believe in, and this is just my belief. This is maybe not the Bible, but in Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, before they sinned, the currency was service. So a farmer would produce farming goods, and they would trade it with a guy who made farming tools. Service. Service. We were created to serve. And Joseph realizes that. Don't ever become too good to serve. Don't ever become too successful to serve. It doesn't matter how much money you make. And the more money you make, the more you can hire people to serve you. But don't ever forget that you were created to serve. A bird was created to fly. Put her in a cage. And she can have all the food in the world and all the water and toys and mirror to look at, right? The bird. But unless it's flying, it's dying. Unless you're serving, you're dying. Those of you who are older and now you have more time, don't stop serving, because if you're not flying, you are dying. Because as a bird was created to fly, a man or a woman was created to serve. And instead of going on a cruise to Bahamas, Joseph is serving. Now, it's interesting that Moses wrote this about 350 years from when it happened. So Moses didn't see this happen. However, Joseph told this story, and he used the word serve, to serve. He began to serve in the courts of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And when Joseph left Pharaoh's presence, he inspected the entire land of Egypt. It would be natural to want time off. Joseph decides to serve. Number two, he inspects the land. Guys, he has all the assistance in the world. Why not? See, especially if you've been poor, like I grew up really poor, you want
to enjoy life. You know, you're waiting for that good life, you know. And you think, when I get there, I won't do none of these things I'm doing. But you don't realize that's what makes you human, is cleaning your house. And mowing your lawn is actually somehow soothing to your... You can hire somebody to do that, but it just feels better when you do it yourself. There's something about it. And so Joseph, he could have sent other people to inspect the entire land of Egypt for him. No, he says, I want to get out of this White House and go and be with regular people. I'm going to go among regular people and I'm going to inspect the land myself. Have you noticed Jesus also, he didn't sit in some Buddha temple. He didn't sit in some synagogue. What did he do? He went out and was among people. Here's what success will do for you. It will isolate you. Here's the problem with success. When you're poor, you have tons of friends. When you become rich and successful, you start having less and less and less friends. Am I right or am I right? And I'm talking because I know this, not because I've heard this or read this. I know this. The more successful you become, the more isolated you become. And what Joseph does, although he has all the help and managers he can hire, he goes out himself and is among people. And that's the servant heart you see. And really, Joseph didn't become successful when he entered the palace. You know, he was always successful. Joseph was always successful. In prison, he was successful. In Potiphar's house as a slave, he was successful. A lot of people think that in 30 minutes, Joseph became successful. No, he was always successful. Listen, even in your worst moment, when you're following the plan of God for your life, even when things are not yet happening and things look bad from the world's point of view, if you're following God, if you're being faithful to His will, you are successful already. It's just nobody sees it yet. But God will open that door of an elevator and bring you to the top like He did for Joseph. Amen? And so he goes and he's hanging out with people, with regular people. He's listening to their problems and he's listening to their stories. And he's talking to them why they're going to take 20% of their income. He's telling them why. Don't you wish politicians would do that? They would come to you and say, hey, we got to tax you, but here's why. You know, we love you. We're preparing the place for the bad years. Joseph goes around people. He inspects the land. He does not take advantage of his new position in Pharaoh's court. He's working for the people. Success could make you isolated. It can also make you lazy. It can also make you lazy. Joseph is going out. If you go deeper and think about this story deeper, he had millions of people relying on him. His purpose was to prepare people for 7 years of famine. No one has ever done that, probably to that point in history. This is where I think the Department of Agriculture was created, was with Joseph. Because here's what he had to do. He had to learn about legislation. He had to learn about communication, negotiation, transportation. How do you transport all that grain? Where do you put all that grain? Meaning he had to build silos or places where you can store the grain. See, we think that life of prosperity is just easy life. But there's no such a thing as easy life. Here's what somebody said. Vision leaks. Why? Because humans leak. We are broken vessels. So you pour something in a human and slowly it leaks. Discipline leaks. Okay? Okay, so watch this. Your kids, you discipline them, you think it's enough. One time. Right? If you stop training them, what happens? Discipline leaks. Culture leaks. Your human strength leaks. Relationship with God leaks. You always need to eat food, physical food, so you can have energy. You always need to pray and read your word and listen to sermons so you can regain your strength. Human beings are broken. We're broken. Anyway, Joseph had to realize all these things. Transportation. Where do you store food where it doesn't mold? Right? Grain will get moldy.
Farmers, help me out. For 7 years, if you leave grain somewhere, it has to be in a cool, dark place. How do you make sure in a country where there's lots of rats and rodents, how do you protect food for 7 years, grain? For 7 years. Joseph had to realize all that. He had to discover that. See, we read the Bible and we think easy life, don't do anything, just collect the paycheck and live it up. No, easy life brings problems with it as well. So some of you need to stop dreaming and start living. Because you're deferring life till you become successful. But God says, I want you to live now. Because when you reach that success, there will still be problems. Same problems, maybe just different category, but there will be same amount of problems. Is somebody getting blessed by this? And so he had to build buildings in every major city. He had to be economist, a strategist. He had to know forecasting. He had to do record keeping. Ooh, hate that. Some of you business people, I closed my business because I had to record keep. Yeah, it's part of it. He had to build a department of agriculture. And as a kid, I read that story and I was like, I want to be like Joseph. Life is hard now, but when I get there, it would be easy. No, it's not. A lot of work comes with it. A lot of work comes with it. Success, write this down, comes with a lot of responsibility and little freedom. Success comes with John Maxwell, I think, said that, a lot of responsibility. As your responsibility goes up, your freedom goes down. Notice, 7 years he can't do. Joseph cannot do what he wants. He cannot just get away for a year to be there, right? As a pastor, I can't leave the church for a weekend and go somewhere. Because as responsibility increases, see, a lot of people think, title, just the pastor, it's cool. It's not that cool. It's not. I want to be in Florida right now. In the warm weather and chill on the beach with my family. I can't. I have to be here. Because as responsibility and titles increase, the freedom decreases. And here's what people want. They want the title and the freedom. You can't have both. You can't have both. You can't have the title and responsibility and freedom. Because as freedom, as responsibility increases, the freedom decreases. You can't just do whatever you want. Blame John Maxwell for that. That's him. And with success come a lot of responsibility. He had to choose responsibility over freedom. Easy life, listen to me, easy life produces poverty. Good life comes with a lot of work. Proverbs 10:4. Remember that one, Proverbs 10:4. Laziness leads to poverty. Hard works make you rich. 5. At harvest season, it's smart to work hard. You read the rest. At harvest season, 7 years of harvest, great harvest. Joseph could not sleep, could not. How many of you still would like Joseph's position, knowing all this? It's a lot of headaches. That's a lot of people to deal with. Plus, I don't think Egyptians liked that Joseph was taking 20% of their stuff. How dare you, a slave, a Jewish slave, a Hebrew slave, taking our money? Who does he think he is? It wasn't easy. He was criticized. He was talked about. Everybody complained about Joseph for 7 years. For the good 7 years. However, when the bad 7 years, they changed their tune. They fell in love with Joseph then. All right, I got to move on. 3 problems with an easy life. Are you ready? We stop growing. If you stop using your muscles, you lose those muscles. You stop growing. Notice when life is hard, we grow. When you have to physically lift weights, you grow stronger. When church is persecuted, the church is united and strong. When life becomes easy, often we relax too much. We stop praying, we stop seeking God, we stop living right, we have so much entertainment that we, easy life. Problem with the easy life, we stop growing. Number 2, you can become lazy. And if you become lazy, it'll lead to poverty. Number 3 is you can forget God. And this is like a, a normal thing. People begin to forget God, not Joseph. And that's why he's such a good example, because he still seeks God. And I'll show you that in a second. Deuteronomy chapter 18, God talks to his people about how he's going to bless them. But he warns them. And here's what he says in verse 17. He did all this so you would never say to yourself, I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy. Here's the temptation. I did it myself. God never helped me. I worked hard. But you forget who gave you life, who gave you wisdom, who gave you opportunities, and who gave you energy to do what you needed to do. It was God. So never forget, as you become blessed, as you pay off your house, as you pay off your car, don't forget that it's God who's given you that opportunity. Don't forget God. This is such a temptation. This is such a lie of the devil, that now that you are financially stable and you followed the Dave Ramsey course and now you are debt free, you don't need God. You need God more than ever. Remember the Lord your God. He's the one who gives you power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed for your ancestor with an oath. Don't forget. Don't forget. And I've told you guys stories of friends that I know who forgot and lost everything, even their life. Just recently, you know, some of you know of that person. Was super successful. Don't forget. I just read a story by Katy Perry in Christian Post on Facebook. And she's looking to go into a soul examination. She said she reached the highest pinnacles of success. She reached the many number one hits. Baby, you're a firework. Right? She reached all of that. Boom, boom, boom. Oh, that's good. and you know, during those years, she totally abandoned God. Totally. She said, you don't need God. There is no God. Well, now she, after reaching the glass ceiling and finding out that she doesn't know who she is, now she's going to find out who Kate Hudson is. That's her real name, not Katy Perry. Kate Hudson. You know, her parents are Christians. They're evangelists. She grew up singing on the worship team in the church. My daughter sings in the worship, and my son plays. Ooh. And now she's going back because she said, I don't think I am Katy Perry. I want to find out who Kate Hudson is. Because she's depressed. She doesn't know who she is. She's lost because she has this person she created and the world created, but that's not her. Success made her into something that she's not. And so now she's going to go through a search. I will post this story today, later today, if you remind me. Write this down, please, on Facebook so you guys can read her from her own lips. Success can ruin people. So many people in Hollywood, Justin Bieber, you've heard his story. He got all the money in the world, fame in the world, and he lost his soul. He lost who he is. And now he's a Christian. He's a part of a Hillsong now. Same with Selena Gomez, his girlfriend or whatever she is to him. Pastor, how do you know these things? I read. I read. But they reached everything, and they had everything. They had success, but they lost something. Here's why. Because they forgot who gave him the talent, the gift, the opportunity, the strength, the energy. God says, don't you dare. You might not be a closed church person, but don't you dare forget. Remember the Lord your God. He's the one who gives you power to be successful in order that he would fulfill his covenant. But then look at verse 19. God is so good. He'll tell you what's going to happen if you forget him. But I assure you of this. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worshiping and bowing down to them, you will certainly be destroyed. Will God destroy you? No. You will destroy yourself. God loves you. You will destroy yourself. I tell kids about robots. I said, imagine you created a robot. You gave him an assignment, but that robot started killing people. What would you want to do to it? He's killing your relatives. He's stealing from people. He's robbing people. That, see, why does God care about sin? Because it reflects on, he created us. It reflects on him. That's why God has to deal with sin. You created a robot, that robot is hurting people, you're going to jail. Well, nobody to put God in jail, so God has to punish sin somehow. And that's what Jesus did. He came and died and gave his life so he can redeem us from our sins. I'm not even following my notes right now. I'm just preaching because I feel God is moving in this place right now. God is trying to show you something. Don't ever forget him. You got an education. Now you have a great job. Don't forget God. But I got this education. Yeah, but God gave you that life and opportunity. You are his. He created you. Don't forget him. Man, time is running out. Good life is not an easy life. Good life is not a lazy life. There's no such a thing as easy life. Easy life is not fulfilling anyway. Now, number four, Joseph maintains his relationship with God. How do I know that? Because he says in verse 50. Let's put verse 50. During this time, before the first of the famine years, two sons were born to Joseph and his wife. Next verse, 50. Joseph named his oldest son Manasseh, for he said, God has made me forget all my troubles and everyone in my father's family. I don't think he's healed yet. I don't think he's dealt with it yet. He's still got issues blocking him. And notice he's mentioning God. Often when people become successful and if they forget God, they stop even talking about him. God? What God? It was me. One man told me, I wish there was no God so I can live forever. After he became successful, told me that to my face. Joseph does not forget God. I think you would be stupid to forget God in Joseph's position. Just from the wisdom point of view. Why? Joseph is not educated in Harvard Business School. He's prison educated. He's Potiphar's house educated. And so I don't think Joseph can do this in 7 years unless God is with him. You need God to continue to be successful. If Joseph God never forgets us, but I like to say God has a path, and if we walk with him on the path, he's with us. But when we turn away from him, God does not follow us. Like prodigal son's father, he didn't go after him. He stayed in the same place. God is always here. It's we who move away from him, and that's why we feel distant from him, right? But when we get back, he's always there with arms open wide. And so I think Joseph is close with God, and it shows by how he names his son. He names him Manasseh, which means God has made me forget. And I thought about it, and I thought, what does that mean, God has made me forget? Here's what it means. When a woman is giving birth to, and I don't know this, I just know this from watching my wife. When a woman is giving birth to a child, it hurts, she's in pain. But as soon as she gets that baby in her hand, she forgets. That baby is such a blessing. Here's what I think God did for Joseph. God made his life so busy serving people, building granaries, collecting the grain that he forgot. God gave him probably a beautiful wife too, because you can't forget unless you have a good wife. And so he's got a great wife who's there supporting him, and he names his son, God made me forget. There will be a day. And right now, maybe you feel like, will it ever end? It will. God will give you a time when you will forget your troubles, when you will forget that divorce, when you will forget that bankruptcy. Well, you will forget. God is working for you. Just don't leave him. He's here, don't leave him. Continue. Successful, great marriage. Marriage is struggling. Business is doing good. Business is not doing good. Make a decision. I'm a follower of Christ for life by the grace of God. Not in my own strength, by the grace of God. And stick to that no matter what. Many of you are going to be millionaires someday. We got one. That's good. Don't forget this message. Don't forget God. I know you're believing for your heart to be. Yeah, I'm believing with you, brother. Amen. Okay, I gotta quit. Second son. Let's see the second son. Verse 52. Joseph named his second son Ephraim. God has made me fruitful in the land of my grief. I believe if we live with God, I believe that when we follow God, Joseph's story will be our story. See, God says, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. God is a God of restoration. And some of you are like, well, just be logical, Pastor. It's not going to happen for everybody. I'm not responsible for everybody, but I'm responsible for what I will believe. And I know this. Jesus, when he was on this earth, he was wowed by only two things. Belief and unbelief, right? When Jesus saw their belief, he was, wow. Here's what wows God is your belief. What are you believing God for? And here's what wows God in a negative, in Jesus in a negative way, your unbelief. No, it's not going to happen to me. Nothing ever good happens to me. It shall be to you according to your faith. And so I choose to believe God that the best is yet to come. I choose to believe God that my love for people is growing and I love people. I choose to believe God that my family will worship God for the rest of their life. I choose to believe God that thousands of people are going to be saved in this city through this ministry, through you guys. I believe God for that. There's no going back. Jesus said, if you took a plow and you're turning back, you're not worthy. I'm not going back. I'm not turning back. I'm going after God. I'm pursuing God with all my heart. You're pursuing God with all your heart. I believe God that all my needs are met. And he gives me the desires of my heart. I believe God for that. I believe that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I believe God that I love this woman and I'm in love with her for the rest of our lives. I believe God for that. I'm going to choose to believe for great things. I'm going to believe God that in my lifetime I'm going to make an impact in this world. I'm not just going to live a life just to live. I'm going to make an impact. Doesn't matter how big it is. One person or 100 million. I don't care. But I believe God. And I believe the God who sustained me when I had nothing. And this church had nobody showed up one weekend except me and my wife. And we still did worship. And when we opened our eyes after 5 songs, there was 10 people in the front 2 rows. That was hard. That was hard. But I'm going to believe God. Will you believe God for your life? For without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I'm going to seek him. And I'm going to seek him in faith, not in fear, not in my logic. Well, logically, it's impossible. I know. But with God, say it, but with God, all things are possible. Come on, give him glory. Clap your hands. Stand to your feet.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Sermon Series Online. If you're blessed by these messages and are interested in helping spread the word of God to others, make an investment today. You can give at newlifechurchsf.org. If you have a story or a testimony to share, let us know on our website as well. We hope you have a blessed day and enjoy today's message by Pastor Alex.